You're listening to Donscast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
No, I'm Nick.
Mate, no footy, or men's footy this week for the Bombers, but ladies started the AFLW campaign with a win over the Hawks in my hometown of Frankston.
Yeah, it's a cracker way to kick the season off, Jamie. And I kind of think it's a good time to actually start the season because everyone's still obviously in full footy mode. There's a break for the bye for the men's sides, and you introduce the ladies playing on the weekend. And yeah, I tell you what, I lapped it up, Jamie. I thought it was brilliant. You know, having Essendon perform in September, Jamie, it's a pretty rare occurrence. To get the win, even better, especially against the Hawks. So, I thought it was, a great weekend of footy.
Yeah, no, it was nice to see the ladies win. And, mate, entering the game, as I said, I went to the game at Frankston. I just started to make my way around towards the position I was going to stand and pass no other than our president and CEO, Dave Barham and Craig Bozzo. And I was a bit surprised to see where they were because I just opened the public. And, I just walked past and said, "G'day, Dave, g'day, Craig." And then I said, "Oh, we need a big off-season." And, I got a bit of a wink back and a bit of confirmation on that. So I don't know what that means. Maybe he had something in his eye, but let's hope that means there's something in that. So it sounds like the work's starting to begin. And we got news today, mate. A couple of contracts have been signed. Harry Jones signing on for one more year, which is, good news because we saw his talent a couple of years ago, especially.
Yeah.
He's been crueled by injuries and, let's face it, some pretty poor form in between that.
Yeah.
And then the 2-year deal to Nick Bryan, which, we were wondering, would a club come after him and would he request a trade? But he stayed true to the Bombers, and to sign him up for 2 years, I thought that's a good result for us too.
Bloody oath, Jane. Some good signings there. I think, definitely with Jones, like you can see the talent when he does get in the park. And I think that 1 year is perfect because keeps him on the list, but also keeps him hungry. It's not a sure thing we'll keep you around if you're not performing. So I think that's it was good to see him, as I say, with Bryan. That was a crucial signing to my mind anyway, because he's shown some really good signs. We've developed him quite well, or he's developed quite well, I should say. Another pre-season into him to bash up against those bigger bodies in future. It'll be really good to sort of have him locked away for another couple of years. Really important because you think with Phillips going, if he left, then we'd have to scrounge around for more ruck stocks and look, the spots on the list are pretty tight as they are, let alone trying to find another ruck or two if the bloke you've developed is gone. So I thought that was a great start anyway.
Yeah, and still a lot of players out of contract, so that'll be a moving piece. I believe the closest next signing we should see is Jai Menzies. His manager's already alluded that the contract was put towards them. So we should see Jai signed up very soon. A surprise, mate, whether it's true or not, can't confirm, but the talent in Anthony Mancara, we're hearing, may not, continue at the hangar. Or at least not on the AFL list. So in a rocky spot because there was reports that the club were only going to give him a 1-year deal, which really surprised me because a project player usually invests some time in. And when you saw a player like Cam McBride, we gave him 4 years to develop. Seems like a real snapfire decision, but there might be family circumstances behind that. I'm not sure. I'm only guessing, but surprised that he goes.
Yeah, I believe he went home for family reasons to Adelaide for a bit. And in regards to the contract length, I mean, with Kim McBride, using that example, it was the same kind of deal with him. Like he'd be extended by, I think he initially got 2 years on that, was it Cat C? Then that was extended due to extenuating circumstances, COVID, the same thing again the year after. So it's not like we gave him a 4 year deal, but he had to work for those. And yeah, to be quite honest, for a rookie spot where you're looking at potential, I don't see a problem with 1 year deals. Keeps the player hungry, keeps them honest. Obviously we put the development into them. And as long as they tick all the right boxes, then they get rewarded. And ultimately it could be beneficial to the player if they perform quite well. Well, their contract looks a bit better as opposed to signing up for 2 years on that rookie list. So I kind of see it working for both ways. I guess, it's only speculation. We only hear things, second, third, fourth hand. James, so I guess we'll see what happens in due course regarding Mankara. Certainly, I think a lot of us hope he stays around. His development at the VFL level, it was quite good considering at the start of the year we weren't sure whether he'd play any VFL football. For him to play a significant amount of games, be able to kick goals and show moments in each game that go, gee, this bloke's got some real AFL attributes, is a real credit to him. So I'm really hoping he sticks around at the club and we set a culture that allows him to feel comfortable within the program. But that'll be all to play out.
Yeah, all right. So for today's episode, what we'll do is we'll quickly discuss the AFLW game, give our votes, and then following that break, mate, we'll go into our player reviews of the men's team, where we'll start with the first 10 players, review their season, and give a little bit of a synopsis on, whether we felt they had a building year, a good year, or, a flat out poor year. And we'll just go through that until we get through the list, but we'll start with 1 to 10 today. So that's our little bit of a summary of what we're up to. So, mate, let's go into the game for the AFLW. As I said, went to the game. Girls started the game very well, kicked the first goal, and the Hawks put pressure on us before half time. But yeah, if you want to go through the game, then I'm happy to listen.
Yeah, beautiful. No, I thought it was a great game. And I'll tell you what, the pressure was pretty hot. I mean, like as a bit of a forecast into our summary. I mean, you only have to look at the stats, which don't always tell the full story. But you look at the tackle numbers, and I'm not sure about the numbers, completely, but they reckon the Hawks laid 103 tackles to our 57. I don't know if that's completely accurate, but certainly I saw both sides, tackling with intensity, and it was a massive feature of the game. I think while the Hawks, to my eye, James, and obviously you'll have your own opinion, lacked a bit of polish and composure in some areas of the ground, particularly from the midfield going forward. I thought there was a lack of connection there. Their ferocity at the contest really pressured us to make poor turnovers, really, and we saw that time and time again against with some of our star players falling victim to that. But to my mind, it was a pretty good start where we sort of threatened early to get on the score sheet, and we saw Sophie Alexander bob up and kick her first goal.
Yeah, and I've got to say with Sophie, I'm really surprised. She's a really long kick of the footy. She kicked that nicely. But she's a bit of a target for us up forward, along with Bonnie Toogood.
Sure is, mate. And it's good to have see that we had a few more targets and class players like at all ends of the ground, James. Certainly, as we spoke about last week and last year indeed, where we basically had some star players in, Toogood and Prasparkas, and then there was a significant gap between like them and our next better players. Vought was a really good player for us last year. But we just seem to have more, I suppose, more solid players at every part of the ground. And, Wuchner is one that, showed a bit of class in the night. And that was shown, no better really than when she took that mark right on the boundary, Jame. And for a left footer, probably about, 30, 35 out, Jame? She went back and slotted a beautiful goal on the wrong side.
Yeah, it was a great kick. And even when she was walking in, mate, it looked like she was glancing the, maybe kick it inboard or whatever. And in the same motion, snapped truly. So, she's quite highly talented.
Certainly was. I thought, it was a bit Ricky Dyson-esque, that kick, Jane. If you remember
it was.
That
That's
one.
A good analogy, yeah.
Unfortunately, we obviously got to brush a bit of the cobwebs off from the off-season and all the rest of that. But we did see, in that second quarter, a bit of a disappointing effort when it was, I think it was Georgia Clark. Basically sat under a high ball and kind of seemed to me packed it out of the pressure and dropped it. And they were able to kick a goal on that, which was a bit disappointing because, prior to that, Bonnie Toogood had kicked her first goal of the game, which is great to see. And we were starting to open up a little bit of a lead. We'd finished that first quarter, 2 goals, 2-14 to their 1 goal, 6. So after that, we were 20-6. And that one brought them right back in. And, then we saw another goal to them not too long after to McDonough. I don't know if she's any relation to the great Garrett, mate. But, and that basically evened the scores before they hit the lead, from behind from Christy Stratton. And at halftime, Jame, despite, I think realistically we had, more of the play, particularly that first quarter. We ended up halftime down by the 1 point, so it was 3 goals, 3-21 to the Hawks to our 3 goals, 2-20.
Yeah, and I thought we fell away pretty poorly in that second quarter. As I said, kicked the first goal within a minute. To have that lead extend out, 14 points, I think it was, and then really just, the Hawks controlled the play, it just seemed like, in the first half, especially early, we were moving the ball much better than the Hawks, and then they controlled the play for the bulk of the second quarter. And, I was going to be interested to see how we responded in the third, and we had some good news to look forward to in that account.
We did, mate. We did respond after Bonnie Toogood basically tried to kick it to... what's her name? Number 3, Bannister. Unfortunately, missed the target, but it went through for a goal. So you'd take that any day of the week. I thought that was great stuff for Toogood's second. And that goal was followed up not too long after by a brilliant bit of play from Amber Clark, who basically snaffled the footy after Nance gone. She was just dogged at the contest, Jane. She sort of slapped the footy out to make sure it didn't get locked up in there. Then one of the ladies got it out to Amber Clark, who, ran it in and, kicked a nice snap to put us out a little bit more in front. I thought that was, great stuff.
Yeah, really nice goal. And, we were starting to build that scoreboard pressure again. And, as we know sexist, but like we know in the female game, if the score starts blowing out, it makes it really hard for the opposition to come back.
Yep.
So I thought that was really good that we started to get a bit of scoreboard pressure on them because there was a slight breeze going the way we were kicking.
Yep.
And that had been shown by the scores, the weight of the scores up until that point of the game. So yeah, it was good to see we start to hit the scoreboard.
Certainly was, mate. And we ended that third quarter up by two goals. So 5 goals for 34 to their 3 goals for 22. And again, it was a tough contest where actually I did mean to say before that there was a bit of play, Jane, where it looked for all money like it was going to be a Hawks goal. Like it was basically one on three. They were sharing it out towards themselves, and I think it was what's the name, Fallows, who looked to be running into a pretty open goal. I thought she'd pull the trigger a bit early, and kicked it for a behind. It was almost Corey McKernan like, if you remember that one from years ago.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, so I was pretty fortunate. But yep, getting back to that that fourth quarter, we saw our first scoring effort to Georgia G, and I thought, look, and a year of development, Jamin, to some of these ladies, like Amber Clark was one, Georgia G was another, where look, she's still slight framed, Jamin, but I thought like her quickness and class around the footy was starting to be really telling, and she seemed to have a bit more I suppose stamina, you know, going into more contests, which is great to see. But then we saw a nice goal to Daria Bannister.
Yeah, looked like we were home after that point, mate. Thought it was going to be too hard for the Hawks to come back after, you know, kicking that another goal on top of them. And, the girls were up and about. They seemed really excited, obviously, with their performance.
Yeah, they should be, because that, it was a great mark from Bannister. And, obviously a very decent kick and great goal. Because I think that one was from a fair distance, Jane, like maybe 35, 40. Well, I don't know about 40, but like 35 at least. Looks to go the distance. So, which is great to see. And then, a little while after we saw a brilliant mark to Paige Scott, Jane. Like really, really got up.
Yeah, she's a real talent, and still only, I think, 19, mate. So she's a real real talent, and you know, she had that on the show. And, mate, does she tackle hard?
Yeah.
Being close to the game, just watching some of her tackles, the players obviously know when she gets them.
Absolutely, mate. She reminds me of, kind of Jake Stringer kind of player, like a real impact sort of player. Yeah. Paige Scott, and she was certainly getting pretty animated in that mark. And to go back and, look to kick truly, Jane, but obviously the kick went just short. But that one was crumbed by Radford, who crumbed it and kicked the goal.
Yeah, great stuff. And, to know we beat the Hawks was a great feeling, because obviously we played them in round one last year, if you remember, and got our first victory, and that continued. So it's always good to beat the Hawks.
Certainly is, mate. And, just a shout-out too, because obviously, Toogood was, going forward, for the day, kicking a couple of goals. But that last quarter, I think it must have been a bit of a play, given the wind was going that way, Jane. They're like, look, we just need some class down back to, intercept some marks. And Bonnie Toogood was huge in that quarter, Jane. Took a number of marks, to basically stop them being able to have the opportunity to score. And I thought she really stood up when the Hawks really coming.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
And, with that, I mean, they got a consolation goal through Gilroy bring their score a bit closer. But at the end of the day, we won by 19 points, Jane. So 7 goals, 7:49 to their 4 goals, 6:30. And, as you say, to get a win against the Hawks, always a good feeling.
Yes, it is. And, mate, our next game, we play the Saints. And they had a bit of a belting, I think. They got belted up. So I think the girls should take a bit of confidence into round two of the AFLW season.
Absolutely, James. And, one thing I will say is, like as I was saying earlier, like last year to this year, it's just a massive change of the list, I suppose, with regards to the development of the people in the team from last year, like just an extra year, but also bringing in some experienced heads, to shore up those positions we were weaker in. Yeah, just like absolutely showed dividends, which was fantastic. And yeah, to go from effectively, you know, two or three star players to having, you know, soldiers on every line that can do the job. You know, you think of, you know, Brooke Brown. I thought she played quite a good game. Yeah, obviously Vandehuvel was huge. Yeah, another year into Stephanie Wales. Jane, I thought, yeah, as a, what is she now, like 20 maybe, 19, 20?
Yeah, she's kind of young.
Yeah, like she was battling against Perkins for the Hawks all night, and I thought she really stood up quite well. Yeah, to go with the likes of Chris Barkers, and the big one, I suppose, I want to talk about is Georgian Anscombe. Now, obviously, remember that, yeah, in that VFLW season, you know, right at the end, of, basically, of that grand final, Crystal Wynn, she done her ACL and was out. Like, she was supposed to be our AFLW captain, if you remember, Jane.
Yes.
But it was obviously taken out for that year due to injury, which was a massive setback for her, a setback for the club, obviously, as well. But for her to be back, like, that first game, like, she was everywhere. I thought, like, Chris Barkas must love it because she's no longer the only one that, you know, is relied upon to, you know, get that ball out of dodge. Like, Nanscorn was doing some brilliant in and under work, yeah, really, really scrapping. And, yeah, look, if they want to put all the energy into Chris Barkas, yeah, they can do that, but at their own risk because Georgia Nanscorn is quite capable herself. So I thought it was just fantastic to see the amount of, like, a lot more contribution from a lot more players to, you know, even the load, if you will. It was great to see.
Yeah, and a bit of a shout out to Elise Gamble. She lost her father only a few days before the game, mate, and yeah, it must be so hard, and then to still be able to play. And she was quite important for us in the, you know, holding up down back. So yeah, that would have been terribly difficult for her, and yeah, she obviously was still committed to play. So yeah, yeah, that's an unbelievable effort.
Yeah, no, well done to Elise Gamble. But yeah, I suppose we should get on to the votes.
Yep,
James,
let's go.
So I'll start us off as always, and for me, I gave you know, one vote to Georgia G. I thought, yeah, again, like, just her class and poise. It was really important at times, like 14 disposals, 7 kicks, 7 handballs. 4 tackles. I think she's a really smart player, Jame, and yeah, I'm really liking yeah, what she's bringing. I gave 2 votes to Chris Barkers. Look, her disposal was a bit iffy at times. I think her disposal efficiency was about 45% or something like that, which obviously isn't up to her normal high standards, but she was, yeah, cracking in for everything. And if you remember, Jane, like, she took a massive hit.
Well, yeah, she was in a world of hurt.
Yeah, she was. And it looked to, like, I don't know whether she was just, like, severely winded. It looked at one point, it could have been, like, a hip flexor injury or, geez, even broken ribs. Like, the way she was down. And she's not one to flop, Jane. Like, she's a pretty tough lady. And she came back on and made a real impact. And yeah, didn't yeah, she wasn't jumping at shadows or anything like that. Like, she went into the contest just as hard as she was beforehand, and I thought just her you know, fight for the football was commendable, and makes the other players around her walk a bit taller. So I gave her 2. 3 votes I went to Nanscorn. I thought, yeah, she was just fantastic, the way she just, you know, scrapped. And she's pretty quick, Jane, and uses a bit of lateral movement to sneak inside of players. So yeah, I thought that was fantastic. I mean, what did she get? The 21 disposals, 8 kicks, 13 handballs, and 4 tackles, which is great. I should say, with Chris Barkas, 31 disposals, 11 kicks, 20 handballs, and 6 tackles. So yeah, huge numbers there. 4 votes went to Vandehuvel. I thought she was just brilliant. Like, the way, particularly her Like she, I think she really shored us up, between halfback and the centre there. Like anytime the Hawks, seemed to push forward, like there was basically the wall of Vanderhoof. To my mind, like 17 disposals, 10 kicks, 7 handballs, 4 marks, and 4 tackles. I thought she was brilliant, but for the 5 votes, James, I couldn't go past Bonnie Toogood. Kicking the 2 goals, 23 disposals. So 13 kicks, 10 handballs, 8 marks, and 3 tackles. I thought it was a fantastic game from the co-captain. And well done. How about yourself, mate? How'd you read it?
Yeah, I went 5 for Bonnie as well. She was, I don't know if you remember, early in the game, it was probably in the second quarter, she received a sling tackle, mate, and she hit the ground terribly hard, and it looked like, I was worried, would she have to get a concussion test because she looked like in a bit of pain. But we had to come out and after half time as well and still play such a great role. She just had a huge game, so I gave her the 5. I gave 4 to Nance Gorn. I really loved how she missed her opportunity last year, and she came on, and when she's low to ground, mate, but she hits the ball hard, picking it up like she's a real clearance player. And as you say, her and Prasparkas will work well together, because if one doesn't get you, the other one will. So yeah, really good. Yeah, I gave Vanhoof the 3 votes. I thought she was really important as well, as you said. Curtailed the Hawks on a number of occasions. 2-50th gamer Georgia G. She's got a lot of talent, mate, and she'll get better for the run. But 50 games in it. In let's face it, the AFLW, because the season's so much shorter, 50 games is almost like 100 games. So, she's definitely put a stamp on the AFLW competition. And a really good friend of Maddie Prasparkas, we know. So great to see her play well. And as harsh as it is, I left Prasparkas out of the votes, even with 31 disposals. But I just felt she turned the ball over a bit. And I wanted to reward Paige Scott because while she might not have the possession tally, her tackles and just her vibrancy around the footy really give the girls a lift. And she's a real team barometer. Really rated her game, so I wanted to give her one vote.
Beautiful, and definitely well deserved as well. All right, so I'll tally up the votes, Jane. So going from bottom, so at the moment we've got 1 vote to Scott, 2 to Sparkus, 3 to G, 7 each to Nance Gorn and Vanderhoof, and on tens, Don's cast middle votes is Bonnie Toogood. Out in front.
Yeah, and well deserved. So I think the girls play next Sunday, I think it is, against the Saints. So we can look forward to that.
Beautiful.
All right, let's have a break, mate, and when we come back, we'll start our season review of By the Numbers. And you're listening to Don's Cast, and as we start our season review of By the Numbers, we start with Andy McGrath. This is a year for Andy where he played every game of the season, and that shouldn't be understated. It's a pretty hard effort to play every game of an AFL season. Like, so many knocks and bumps the players take each week. He's now 25 years of age. That might surprise you, mate. Look, I think if we're doing hindsight, number one draft pick, he's probably had players surpass him from that draft class. But he was settled this year. He played down back. I still think fine with Andy. Too often he kicks and hopes. He still got the ability to win one-on-one contests when given a task. Which is important. So I think he's still finding a balance of, being somewhat attacking, but also keeping his, that really important defensive role down back. But how did you see his year, mate?
Yeah, it's sort of funny because, I mean, you look at his his stats. I mean, look, like the good thing is like he stayed out of the park all year, so played all 23 games, which is good to see. So plenty of stability at least there. And everything like stats-wise looks, fairly good. But like there's a lot of sort of average or above average sort of ratings. So that's, disposals, kicks and handballs, marks and tackles, like two tackles a game on average, which actually does surprise me, James. I didn't think it'd be that high. If I'm honest, and not that two tackles per game is high, but I certainly didn't notice a massive tackling attempt from Andy, but it's obviously there. I think, you're right in that, like particularly at the start of the season, James, like we were both giving him votes because we both thought he was playing quite well, and really showing his capability as that lockdown defender, not allowing the really dangerous forwards of the competition to have their way. He kept them fairly tight, which is a real credit to him. But you're right, with footy in hand, he can. He's still prone to panic kicking, to be blunt. Whether it's a dump kick or there were a couple of times, James, where he still did that, kick over the shoulder. It wasn't as, pronounced as it had been in previous years, but certainly that's an area of his game he needs to work at. And I guess the other area of his game, I suppose, is the physical nature of AFL level football, where like if he's able to, chase and then tackle, he might do that. But when someone's coming towards him, he just gets completely, flat-footed. Or pushed out of the way because he is like a smaller player in the competition. But I guess there are plays that stick in your mind like that. That one against Collingwood, James, where I forget who it was. Coming through the middle of the ground and he sort of flat-footed and missed what should have been a pretty standard tackling opportunity, which as a senior player. I think he needs to develop quite a lot in. It's not only talking the talk, you've got to walk the walk as well. And I think, he's got a lot of work to do in terms of imposing himself on the game. And I'm hoping, Brad Scott can get the best of out of him, in the year to come.
Yeah, well, that's all right. And he's like one of our leaders, vice captain. And I really hope that footage, especially some of his tackling efforts, it's not, I'm not saying the effort's not there, but like how comical it can look when you don't have any presence when you intend to tackle. For a leader, it's really, a really big thing to lay a tackle because it inspires your team. So I really hope he takes that on board. And yeah, I'm sure Brad will be, getting that technique much better. But yeah, like he's an important player for us. And as I said, he's he'd be very happy playing every game this year, and there's still growth for him. We'd like to see him trend upwards. That's what I would say from here. Sam Draper, mate, we missed him for 9 games this year. We remember we got him through to the bye. And this is where sometimes the messaging from the club's not always truthful. I don't know if you remember, Brad, prior to the bye, we had that game, and he came out and said, "Oh, he's got a bit of a sore. I think we've just been managing him through the game. We think this bye's come at the right time and we'll get him up and going." To think that we'd only see him play one more game. And obviously he still wasn't right when he played and obviously didn't play the last game, but he's a real barometer in terms of his just the way he gets our side up and about, like with his enthusiasm and so forth. I thought he, whilst he was on the park, especially pre-bye, he'd had quite a good year. Like, still wasn't outstanding, don't get me wrong, but I saw growth in his game. So for me, I just think with Drapes, he needs to get his body right. Hopefully we can do that. And let's hope we can see another year of great performances from Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing, because like everyone's seen he's naturally I suppose talented, like quite raw though. Like I saw a bit of refinement in his game, like in the first half of the year. Like yes, he'd still have his brain fades at times, but he definitely seemed a lot smarter. He definitely seemed a lot more aware of his, I suppose, physical presence and the impact that can have on games. And I thought he was using that to quite good effect. Yeah, obviously his decision making and disposal of the football can leave a bit to be desired at times, but that's not uncommon for a ruckman, Jane. But yeah, certainly we did miss him when he was out of the side. So look, I suppose the big thing for him will big off season to strengthen his body up, make sure he's as right to go as he can be, to so we can get as many games as we can out of him, because his presence on field is huge for us. Like he's so athletic, and he can do things that at that size you don't really have the right to do. But like his burst away pace and that kind of stuff. And I think really, like when you look at our list and the makeup of our midfield, particularly, like we are quite undersized. He makes those players stand a bit taller, for mine. So, definitely want big Sammy Draper back on the park, fit, firing, ready to go for round one next year. So I thought he had a solid season, like some good development early, as well as plenty of work to do. But I thought he actually took a step forward in terms of his leadership as well as his playing ability.
Yeah, and I expect he'll get some help because he's obviously our number one ruckman. He's only 24 years of age, and we've got to remember he doesn't come from, he didn't play junior footy until he was like 16 or 17, I think. So, he's definitely trending in the right direction. But with Nick Bryan signing on, when you look at our list after, apart from that, there's not much ruck stocks there. Yeah, obviously we couldn't afford an injury through either of those two. So I expect us to probably look at an experienced ruckman. And just one that was floated, I don't know if there's any truth to it, but Scott Lysette out of Port Adelaide. Apparently he's been offered a very poor contract from Port. I'll be interested to see if, because he's got that kind of physicality that I think Brad would like. Obviously, we saw Andrew Phillips play a lot of the footy. With being physical, so be interesting to see if we have a look at a experienced player like that to bring to the list, because let's face it, our ruck stocks are pretty lean, especially if you lose one of those two rucks as backup. So it'd be interesting off season on the ruck stocks for the Bombers.
Certainly will.
Darcy Parrish, fresh off signing a 5-year contract, mate. We didn't discuss that, but that was great news. We were wondering what was happening there. Yeah, we saw him play 18 games out of the 23. So obviously, missed 5 games with that injury earlier in the year. And some people, I think, a bit unfair on Darcy saying that, when he returned, our performances dropped off. But I think they're giving too much credit to Darcy if they think that was the reason we were falling behind. Being at the games, I don't think he was the problem at all. Obviously his kicking, his poor kicking can really hurt us at times, which you hope that he can sharpen that up. But I mean, like the way he goes in and hunts the footy, there's few better than him, finding it. And I just think that he's a really good signing for us and one that will help us going forward.
Yeah, it's sort of funny, like there's a first half of the year, I thought he's playing quite well. I'm not sure if he was 100% right, coming back. I think there was a fair bit of rust there. But in any case, look, he was able to find the footy and show his wares on that side. Like finding the footy's never been Darcy Parrish's problem, but his disposal decision making does leave a bit desire, be a bit leave a bit to be desired at times. Like so many times, I remember. We'd be breaking away and making to look a certain charge towards the goals, and he'd kick it into no man's land or directly into the arms of an opponent, which really kills your momentum. it would be pretty deflating. Like if you're trying to get up and about and that's sort of happening, and you have to go back into defensive mode. So look, I'm happy he's signed on for the 5 years, which is great. I think, as much as people say, oh, geez, we should trade him in, get a draft pick. Draft picks are notoriously unreliable. Particularly, in my mind, James, how Adrian Dodoro spends them. So you never know, what you pick up in a draft. Whereas we know what we get with Darcy Parrish, like an elite ball winner, like, and that's indisputable, an elite ball winner that is now basically at the peak of his powers, James, like 26 years of age. He's one of our, I suppose, few like real in and under midfielders that his hands are just lightning at times. Like the one grab pickups off the deck, like in heavy traffic, to get the ball out. What we need around him is, I suppose, more experienced heads to make better use of him. Like he shouldn't have to be the one. Like if his disposal is never going to be elite, get more blokes that can kick inside 50 around him. Like Zach Merritt obviously is proven. I'd like to see Perkins develop a lot more in that area, and because I think he can be quite a good user of the football. Obviously, you want to improve the disposal of other blokes like your Hobbs and Caldwell. But at the end of the day, for Darcy Parrish, I think we've got an elite ball winner, and that can't be, I suppose, sniffed at. So I thought he had a solid season, but I would certainly hope for a lot more in terms of, actually lowering the eyes, hitting targets, and having more impact on the game. Because you can gather the ball 30 times, but unless you're actually, impacting the game, either on the scoreboard or through, goal assists or, through links of play that lead to goals, ultimately, it's kind of, for nothing. It looks good on the stat sheet, but nothing else. So, I think he's a great signing. Thought he had a solid year, as I said. And I'll be looking forward to next year, a full fit firing Darcy Parish.
Kyle Langford had a brilliant season. So reliable up forward. We lost Peter Wright early in the season, and even when he came back, he wasn't as dominant as we'd known Peter Wright to be. So Kyle's picked up the whole bulk of the work, really, and played every game, kicked over 50 goals or kicked 50 goals. And, that's just an amazing effort for a player that at the start of last season, or start of this season, sorry, was looked at as maybe a half-back flank option. So, great year from Kyle, and still only 26, mate, so he's in his peak period as well.
Yeah, that's it. And I guess further to that, I mean, we've heard over the last couple of years that in terms of leaders or mentors around the club, Kyle Langford's definitely one of those. I like to get the younger blokes, take them under his wing, and help develop and mentor them. Now, rumours are that Kyle Langford said he's going to go to Arizona for a training trip, get his fitness and all the rest of it. Give it a real tune up over the off season, and he's been able to influence a number of other players, James. Like there's reports of initially another four were going with him, and now apparently 14 or 15 players or so in total are going to head off to Arizona. So I don't know if that's fully true, and I guess that'll be left to play out. But if that is true, that's an excellent thing for Kyle Langford to be able to drive, I suppose, the motivating standards around fitness and wanting to get the most out of your careers at the club, because it was pretty clear, particularly at the end of that Collingwood game, we saw Zach Merritt, speak, and Kyle Langford, he seemed a bit lost for words, but the sentiment of, geez, it's a pretty shit feeling, was definitely agreed to by all and sundry. So like with his season itself, like he's been seen as a bit of a Mr. Fix It, but I think this year we definitely saw that. No, he's a forward. He's such a valuable play down there for us. Like to kick, 50 odd goals, for us. But we did have no real strong, targets down there. Like we saw, as you say, Peter Wright injured, Wiedemann, a bit of a failed experiment, really.
Stringer had a
Pritchard,
quieter year, like up forward.
Stringer, Harry Jones, obviously injured. So, Cox as well. He didn't have a lot of help down there, but he's managed to string together quite a strong season and get named in the All-Australian squad for his troubles. So, no, I thought he had a fantastic year, Kyle Langford. A real beacon of hope for us and kept us on the straight and narrow. So, no, I thought a fantastic year for him.
Yeah. Our first draft pick from last year, mate, Elijah Sardis, had to wait his time. He had a knee injury early in the preseason. It was really impressing when he first came to the club. That knee injury kept him out for about 16 weeks, mate. So then he had to play a number of games in the VFL, but earned his way into the senior side. And there's some like things to like. He ended up averaging 16 disposals a game, got some midfield minutes, and look, his kicking is a bit suspect at times, so I think he'll work on that. But he was quoted as saying in the last couple of days, mate, he's really keen to prove that he was the right player to be chosen as the fifth pick of last year.
That's what you want to see, like a bloke who's not complacent, that is wanting to get the best out of himself, and prove himself in the AFL ground. Because look, he has shown his ability to win the football, but I mean, many have shown that before. Like, you think of your Dylan Clarks of the world, James, who, like, he was, able to find a football at will, not a problem, but he wasn't able to use it well and ended up finding himself outside of the AFL system. Elijah Sardis, there's a whole lot of upside to him. Like he has shown a bit of a breakaway, a bit of pace, to set himself apart in that midfield area. Currently our only midfielder who can sort of do that probably would be Dylan Scheel, Joan. So Sardis, sets himself apart there. Definitely his decision making, his kicking, look, obviously he's a younger player, he just lacks depth in his kicking. So he's, plenty of loopy sort of passes. Another year, pre-season to like fully work on that, work in the system. And obviously, he was curtailed, from that injury, which put him on the sidelines for a while. So he's got plenty of work to do. And it's great to hear that he's got the mindset to do that. So I think, I'll be looking forward to what he produces in 24.
Yeah, he's got a big preseason ahead of him, and because of only playing under 10 games, he'll be a rising star chance, I reckon, next year if he can get a full preseason, and he's definitely going to get plenty of opportunity. Jai Caldwell, look, he played 21 games, mate. He just missed two of the last three games. So he had an improved season, I thought. I think he's really a player that has had to bide his time in terms of midfield minutes. There was a few years there where he's had to wait his turn to get a more consistent run, but he's certainly got a bit more chance this time. Kicked some nice goals as well. So I thought it was a pretty good year overall for Jai, and it shouldn't be forgotten, he's still only 22 years of age, mate. So he's got a bigger body, but he's still a lot to like about Jai Caldwell.
Certainly is, mate. I thought he had quite a solid year, really. Particularly the first half. First half of the year, I thought he was really solid. Kicked some really nice goals. So ended up having the 11 goals for the year. And obviously, he's still got a bit of work to do there. But another thing I really liked about him was his tackle count, like averaging a bit over four tackles a game, which is great to see. Like he cracks in hard. As you say, James, like he's had an injury-riddled career, but the last couple of years, been able to put together plenty of footy. So last year he played 20 games. This year he got the 21. So that consistency will no doubt give him a lot more confidence in his body. And certainly, the tender age of 21, James, or 22 rather now. Like he's got a lot of upside still to go, a lot of growth and development, and I think he's tracking quite well. So no, I thought it was a pretty good year from Jai Caldwell.
Zach Merritt had a great season, won our Doncaster medal vote, or Doncaster medal, and you know, he's, you know, he played his 200th game this year. He yeah, he's just led in his first season as captain so well. Missed the one game, and that was that suspension made against the D's. Which, looking back now, when you've seen some of the results of similar incidents, yeah, it leaves you a bit bewildered. But yeah, no, I thought he had a fantastic season, his first as captain, and yeah, he's a player that, you know, hopefully can lead us to much brighter days.
Yeah, I've got no doubt that yeah, he'll do just that, Jane. He's such a competitor, which is great to see. And look, he's racked up another All Australian, Guernsey, Jane, on the bench of the All Australian squad, which is fantastic to see. But anyway, you look at his season, and look, he was already a fantastic player. I think with the captaincy, he's actually lifted a gear, which is fantastic. I mean, you look at disposals, kicks, marks, like all rated elite, James, across the competition, which is fantastic. Like, he was one who really steadied us up, you know, whenever we were sort of faltering in the middle there. Like, and he's done it, I suppose, in every facet of his game, because, like, you think of last year, one thing he was criticised for, James, was his defensive side of the game. This year, he averaged 5.5 tackles per game. So racked up 121 tackles over the season, which is absolutely huge. Like, one thing he does still need to work on is his offensive side. He's actually cracked an equal year best. Not best, but one of his better tallies of 8 goals for the year, James. I think definitely would like to see him become more of a goal-kicking mid. But the fact that he was doing things offensively, defensively, was absolutely fantastic to see. I think we're very fortunate to have Zach Merritt leading our football club. And I thought he had a fantastic season.
Yeah, Ben Hobbs was just fantastic in the way that he's gone about his footy. He just hits the ball hard. And like, the thing is also, he is truly, the opposition really don't like him, mate. Every game I had to watch him come after him, which says to me that he's got a bit of niggle about him. And, you know, you need that. I think we've got too many nice players at times. And he's only 19, mate, which is, incredible, really. And the player that he could be, like, he missed 5 games throughout the year, some through injury. And, so in his second year, he's already played 35 matches. He's heading before, 50, before we know it. So really great effort by Ben Hobbs. And, he's one that we can look forward to watching his incredible growth.
That's it, Jay. I mean, if you'll remember, like, at the start of the season, he was out of the side and had to win his spot in the side, through VFL 4. And it wasn't just 1 or 2 weeks, like, for, what was it, 4 or 5 weeks, might have been, Jay. He had to, sort of play his craft down there, and he would have been getting pretty fiery, as we might imagine. But as I say, like, he's taken that straight into the AFL season. I thought, his ability to find the footy is great. His tenacity at every contest has been fantastic. He doesn't mind a bit of niggle, Jane, getting right in the face of, like, some very talented players. I mean, right up to the end of the season, he was wanting to go toe-to-toe with Scott Pendlebury and tell him what for. So I really like the way he goes about it, Jane. Like, he's averaging 4.1 tackles over the course of the season, which I think is fantastic. Like, he's just got a strong desire for the football. And look, we remarked on it throughout the course of the season, Jane. Like, I reckon this bloke will be a future captain of the Essendon Football Club. He just screams, of a bloke that demands the best of himself and those players around him. But I think another year of experience, another preseason, we'll see him, really start to hone his abilities, because he's able to find the footy, but he's still questionable with his disposals and decision making at times. But as I say, another year in the system, heading towards that 50 game mark, will set him in good stead. So no, I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Ben Hobbs.
Dylan Shield, he's going to be 31 next year, mate. Hard to believe, but he started the season, I thought, quite well. Was right up there. Got that injury. We tried to rush him back. Remember, he played a couple of games as a sub, and he just never looked right. And that was the last time we'd see him play for the year. And yeah, he must be terribly frustrated. As you approach 30, or you're now past 30, you just want continuity in your footy. And you just didn't get that. I could see him as being a little bit of a recruit next year, mate, if you can get a really good preseason under him. And he could have a real impact next year. Obviously, again, if we go back with the hindsight, huge signing for us back in the time, mate. We made big dollars, and look, it's an investment that probably hasn't paid off. His best is very good, and we just need to see more of that.
Yeah, I agree with all of that, James. Because he does set himself apart at times, and I thought, particularly that first half of the season, as you said, James, he was performing really well. But then that injury seemed to really take it out of him. And he's still prone to, it seems to be a lot of, I don't know whether it's self-doubt or what, but when he gets his head down, it's hard for him to get back in the game, James. And I think that's one thing that has really curtailed him. So I think let's hope over the off-season, pre-season, he can work hard, get himself to back to full fitness, and get some more confidence in himself. Because one thing we did see early on was he was taking more shots at goal, and that's one thing we were hoping for in previous years. Say, geez, if only he'd pull the trigger, because he'd always, he'd run to the 50 line and then, look for an option, but his kicking wouldn't be, 100%. Whereas this year, I thought he was actually pulling the trigger. He kicked the six goals, Jane, which was great. And when you think back of his GWS, start to his career, that's when he was playing his best football. When he was that bloke to break out of a pack and, launch a goal from outside 50. He can do it. He's just got to back himself in. So, let's hope over the course of the off-season, pre-season, he can get himself right. Because I agree with you, James. Look, while his output hasn't been, what we would have liked, having paid two first rounders and the dollars on top of that, I think there's a real, he's got a real point of difference from a midfield, and I think he can absolutely be a real recruit for us next year, particularly.
One of our signings from last year in a trade was Sam Wiedemann, came to the club. So actually started the season quite well, and I thought, he took some really good contested marks and so forth. Right up to about the Richmond game, mate, where he kicked the first two goals of that Dreamtime game, if you remember, after free kicks, which were definitely there. But, if somebody had said, he'd have to wait until round 23 before his next goal, it would have been hard to believe. And, he just lost confidence terribly. Unfortunately, the crowd turned on him a bit, because Brad Scott was so defiant, playing him through, some pretty poor performances. We did hear that he was suffering a bit mentally as well, which is really hard to hear, isn't it? Footy is a game, let's face it, it is a game, and it can become a huge part of people's lives, and obviously for Sam it got a bit too much at times. Went back into the VFL and played down back mainly, and had some really high possession games, 25 possession plus games down back. forced his way back into the side and kicked a couple of goals in the round 23 game against the Collingwood. Two of our three goals, mind you. So, look, I don't think his first year he'll look upon, or first year at Bombers will be fondly looked at. But, yeah, he's still only 26. There's a definite need for his body type kind of player. So let's hope he builds some resolve and really knuckles down, and this makes him really want to focus and have a great season next year. And look, yeah, it's always hard to see your own players getting jeered. And I think, yeah, that was hard to watch at times. But we were, I think that's that comes from frustration from the fans. But yeah, I think we too often, yeah, we do resolve to that, and we'll resort to that. And yeah, we forget that these people are human, and yeah, it must be really hard for them personally.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. Unfortunately, look, it's not just Wiedemann. We do, as a supporter base, have a tendency to eat our own sometimes, yeah, which is a bit disappointing. As you say, a lot of it from frustration, like 20 years of you know, not winning a final, you know, breeds a pretty disgruntled supporter base, particularly with some of the trials and tribulations we've been through over the years. But we just have to remember it's not Sam Wiedemann's fault. So, look, as you say, with his body type, yeah, absolutely, he can be a real player for us, and he's shown at times he can take some really strong marks, which is great. But he's another one where it's just the mental side of the game that it needs to, you know, work at. So whether that's through you know, sports psychologists or you know, or specific, you know, coaching or trainers, like I think of you know, Travis Cloak back in the day, Jamie. Remember he had the yips. And so he'd, you know, he'd practice his goal kicking with headphones in of, like, you know, loud, you know, crowds and stuff like that, just to get his mind in the frame of, geez, I've got these crowds around me, I've got to kick the goal kind of thing. And look, he continued to have the yips throughout his career, but you'll remember, like, there was a year, Jane, where he won the Coleman, I think it was, and yeah, it was a massive force for Collingwood, you know, in their years of those premiership tilts. So yeah, if a bloke like a Travis Cloak can help, you know, Wiedemann, you know, find himself as a player, you know, that'd be all the better. But I think he was also a victim, James, of, he was probably hoping to be, yeah, second string with you know, big Peter Wright to be taking the main mantle as our key forward. And obviously Peter Wright went down before the season started, and he was made to be the made man. So I do think that was probably a bit hard for Weeds there. Yeah, his introduction probably wasn't what he wanted, a bit of a trial by fire. And yeah, given we are starved for success, we can be a pretty unforgiving supporter base at times. You're right though, James, like there were, you know, long stretches where he was played down on form, which, yeah, we talked about, and I don't think it was doing him too many favours keeping him in the side. But then he went down back and to the VFL and, you know, applied his trade down there, found a fair bit of the footy. So hopefully that'll give him some confidence to, yeah, go into the off season and pre-season, yeah, with a bit of a point to prove, to say, no, I am an AFL, yeah, ready player, to really prove himself. Because look, this will be his second bite of the cherry. Like, he had a 2-year contract with us. First year didn't go according to plan, so he'll really want to put his best foot forward if he's, you know, wanting to stay in the system. So I guess all we can do is look forward to that. But yeah, obviously the season itself, I thought, was below average, much like his many of his statistics, you know, throughout the year.
Yeah, and yeah, there's still hope that he can turn into a player for us. Because as I said, we certainly position we need both ends of the ground. So there's hope for him down back or forward. Because, you know, that height is really required. So let's hope, yeah, he has a great preseason and, you know, build some confidence from that. Mate, that's our first 10. All of those players are contracted now for season 2024. And I don't suspect any of those players to be on the trade table in the coming weeks. So I guess the ones there was some talk about Dylan Shield maybe being floated by the Bombers, but that's been strongly denied. And yeah, it sounds like this stage, you know, Dylan will still be with the club, and the club has no desire to release him. But yeah, I think everyone else there is a lock to continue for season 2024.
Absolutely, James.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it, mate. I'm going to say it, embarrass you. Happy birthday for today. I left it to last minute so you didn't jump off. But yeah, happy birthday, and yeah, thanks everyone for listening. And we had great numbers last week to our you know, round 23 review game. Yeah, there must be a lot of people who are looking for some pain because yeah, it was a hard game to review, but one of our highest rating download podcasts. So yeah, we really thank everyone for jumping on, and hope you still enjoy the content on the off season. So till next time, go the Bombers.
Go Dons.